G'day guys, welcome to the Getting Stoked podcast.
Brought to you by the YCA and the Ocean Cruises podcast.
Is your story worth being told? I happen to think it is.
A podcast that highlights YCA members around the globe.
It's your individual story.
Every month you can tune in to hear the latest about what is going on with the YCA and hear stories about your people, the young cruisers.
No matter the mission, the journey, the miles traveled, social media following, we want to highlight each young cruiser's special story that they have to tell.
So sit back, relax, grab a beer wherever you are in the world, and enjoy. Cheers.
Welcome to the second episode of the Getting Stoked podcast, YCA. We're in a pretty different location. Usually we're on Zoom, so we're literally all over the world. But I think I'll point out who these two handsome gentlemen are sat at the side of me. Brian and Logan, founders, creators, the gods of the YCA.
Two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Two of the five.
Yep.
And then we've got Caroline, who is here.
Caroline, can you walk around the back so you can say hello to everybody?
Just pop your head round and say,
I just
want to
make sure that this is Andy so I can be drinking after him.
Hello.
Yeah. This is Caroline.
This is Caroline.
She's not the bartender.
Actually, these are the three. These are the three. This is the trio.
Yeah, we started it.
Three originals, and then I still think Riley and Elena need to get some founders credits. I would call them founders. They came
in. It was early.
Early.
Yeah. And they would be here right now if it weren't for their boat getting splashed. So
yeah,
their boat got splashed the first day that we had this all set up. So
yeah,
pretty exciting stuff.
Timing was terrible for that.
Yeah, pretty patched for that.
But awesome because their boat's actually in the water now.
Yeah, good on them. Cool. Okay. So in this episode, we've got a podcast and a Q&A from the members with Nika from White Spot Pirates. You guys have known her for a while, haven't you?
Yeah, Nika's awesome. She, last year, we were looking for somebody to highlight at the Cruisers Awards. Something that really made sense for us was to highlight a local charity, because we were here in Annapolis, and then also somebody worldwide that was just doing awesome stuff. So, I mean, a lot of us get on our boats, sail around, enjoy areas, move on to the next.
Yeah, forget about
And there's some people that get on their boats, go to places, and just their only mission is making an impact.
Yeah.
So that's why we did Global Impact Award, and Nika was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, plastic shit floating around in the ocean is absurd and dumb.
Yep.
And she actually cares more than anybody I think we've ever met about cleaning it up. I mean, there's a million nonprofits out there that give you a garbage bag and say, hey, go pick up garbage. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it's good to a point. But they had a really creative approach, which was repurpose this plastic and get, you know, local people figure out a way for it to become an industry for them.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like,
they're actually nice things that she's selling as well. Like, the things that they're making with it is great.
Yeah. And they can do anything they want. I mean, the cool thing is, I think the way those machines work, and I could be wrong about this, but what I understand is the way the machine works is it creates this molten plastic where you could kind of create anything you want out of it.
Yep.
I mean, they help them make certain things, but they could be as creative as they want. You know, come up with new jewelry, new this, new that, and the machine will give them the raw material they need. Excuse me, to make anything. I mean, I would assume at some point they could probably make a cup, or whatever they want,
recycled.
And that's the only way it's going to work, because at a certain point, people get sick of bending over and picking shit up.
Well, yeah, and what do you do with it when you've actually got it as well?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's the main.
You're going to burn it or bury it in a hole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just going straight back.
Bahamas, you burn it.
Yeah. The black smoke flows. And like countries like the Bahamas, you see it. You know?
Most countries, yeah.
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 That's the only option. It's
right.
A small island.
So we've got the podcast with Nika, and you guys are going to talk about two things that you've been working on for quite a long time, actually, that are really going to benefit the cruising community. So, Bri, what are you here to talk about?
So we're about to start pushing the Marine Affiliates, Why Not program that Latitudes and Attitudes has started up. We've partnered with them on this. And the whole point of this is to help YCA members earn a little bit of extra cash out there in the water. And so they have this great network of marine professionals out there that are, you know, these companies are in their space. And so when they're pushing a product, it's super organic.
Mm.
It's easy to make a post on. You know, they're not selling something that's, you know, fully out of their field, like a waffle maker. You know, they're
okay.
Yeah.
Right. That sounds interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, and the other thing we're going to talk about is the the Perks program,
okay,
which is a huge discount program for all of our members. So biggest companies in the industry have partnered with YCA to get product on people's boats and get some rad photos and post back. You don't have to be an influencer to do it. Cool. We actually require, and we say right up front with the companies, hey, if you're partnering with YCA, you're not partnering with influencers, you're partnering with everyday YCA members.
Cool. So some discounts for some cruises.
For everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So that is what we're going to be talking about in a bit. Now we can listen to the podcast that we did with Nika from Y Spot Pirates. Hi, Nika. Welcome to the Getting Stoked podcast from the Young Cruisers Association. It's a pleasure to have you on board my ship here virtually. How are you doing?
Hey, thank you for having me. Super exciting. Good, thanks.
Awesome. Right. I think it would be a good thing to explain where you are first, because you look like you could be in even a greenhouse. There's quite a lot of greenery behind you, so you're not on a boat.
I actually might be in a greenhouse.
Did I get it right?
Yes, it's a greenhouse.
Right, okay.
is temporarily transformed into a little plastic recycling workspace. I'm currently in the north of Germany, and my boat is over in Mexico on the Pacific side.
Nice. Okay. Right. So why are you separated from Carl for the time being? Is this like an annual trip to see the family, or did you need time apart?
Yes. Well, sometimes we do need time apart as well, but it was mostly because once a year I like to go home and see friends and family. And some stuff to take care of sometimes, you know, business-wise. And so it's an annual trip. Since I've been doing this for 10 years now, I think my family kind of like, or also myself, you know, we enjoy having some time for ourselves once a year.
Yeah, it's good. Family is wonderful, but it sometimes can be hard work.
It's good to get into stages, you know?
Yeah. That takes some management as well, actually. Getting those timetables managed is pretty difficult. Right, cool. Okay, so I suppose just a little bit of a backstory for anybody who might not know what you've done or what you are doing for Planet Earth, for example. We'll just go back a bit to where you started your cruising life, living on a big aluminium boat. But what were you doing before? Like, what brought you to that moment?
What was I doing before? Well, I went to school and then I went to university. I actually studied business studies with a focus on strategical management. And then I started working in a company in Hamburg, and I did that for 4 or 5 years. I was working mainly in marketing back then. And I had that feeling, that inkling that somehow the life that I was living was not the right fit for me, let's say that.
Yeah.
And I had the idea that there's something different out there for me, something that I would feel more happy with. And that's when I decided to buy a sailboat and see if that idea that I had was actually the right idea or not.
What inspired you, or was there something that you saw? Was there a documentary that you watched, a book that you read? Like, it, for someone living in Hamburg, you know, in marketing, like it's a pretty heavy jump, isn't it?
I guess yes. I didn't feel like that, but I think it's always like I've always loved the ocean. Like it's always like drawn me in to be at the sea. Has always calmed me down, but also made me dream about big adventures. And my dad is a sailor, so that's how I got into sailing.
Okay.
And I think it was in on a vacation that we've seen like a sailboat at anchor somewhere in the Med, where you are at, I think it was. And it was one of those boats that had like all the clutter on board, like solar panels and planned pots. Exactly. It was like, it was full of stuff. It was full of life, basically.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at the boat and I was mesmerized by it. And I was asking my dad, I was like, why does this boat look so different than the charter boat that we were on? And my dad explained to me, well, these are people that are like sea nomads that live on their boats and they just travel the world. And I was like, wow, that's sounds something nice. That you can do. Like that's how you can live. I mean, my dad was not like, I don't think it was like his, I'm not sure he agreed so much on that, this being the best plan for one's life. But I mean, he agreed with the dream part of it, I think, but maybe not with the, you know, survival part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think that was sort of, that really did something with me, that like somewhere deep inside me, I was like, wow, this just feels like the right thing.
Nice. And
yeah, I don't know. It's, I guess when I grew up, then I did a little reality check of, you know, how much does it cost to cruise the world? What kind of skills do you need? And then I was like, okay, I don't think I have any of that. Like, I don't have the budget. I don't have the skills.
No, Morty, so no skills.
I have no skills at all. So I was like, okay, forget about it. You know, just, you know, go to university and do what people expect you to do. And I think it just always came back up, and it just, the dream just didn't go away. And at some point it was when someone asked me on a journey in India, this good looking Swedish guy, man, he had eyes. And he was asking me like, oh, you know,
were they nice or were they just eyes? Like,
oh, they're very nice. They're very nice.
So he had eyes. That's a good one.
Yeah, very beautiful eyes.
Okay, very beautiful eyes.
He asked me, well, if you could really change what you want to do with your life, what would you do? And I said, well, I'd buy a sailboat and I'd just, you know, untie the lines and see the world. And he was like, why don't you just do it? And that's basically when I decided, like, yeah, why don't I just go for it? Because, you know, why not? At least give it a shot.
That's amazing. So you looked into the eyes of a beautiful Swedish man and you were set on cruising the world.
I think we're somewhere sold on cruising the world. I think I was, what he gave me was like to say, okay, you know, it's not other people should decide what I do with my life, but I myself should decide what I want to do with my life. And he gave me that realization, I think. And I'm truly grateful to that man, for sure.
Are you still in contact with him? Does he know that he changed your life with his eyes and his words?
We're not in contact, no. I think I told him once that his impact that he's had on my life. But yeah, that's a different story.
Different story. There's a poem you've written about that one, I think. Right. So, okay, you decided to go cruising around the world. You picked a boat that probably required required quite a lot of work, and it's something that you spent a lot of time fixing. I remember watching some videos of you years ago, because you were one of the only people making YouTube videos on sailing at one point. I think there was a few people doing it. And I remember you were sat in the saloon crying your eyes out because the boat was constantly broken. You were floating around somewhere. I was like, gosh, what is this lady doing? Like, why is she out there? Did you choose that boat with hindsight? Did you get it because you wanted a challenge? What drove you to Carl?
So it's actually kind of funny that you're asking that, because I was just talking to a friend about the topic of buying Carl. And some people think that I flew to Panama, which where the boat was, already having signed the contract, because I think people thought if she had seen the boat, she probably wouldn't have signed the contract. But that wasn't the case. I flew to Panama not having signed any contract. I had seen some pictures, and we were talking, I think at that time, about 10,000 euros. I had been looking at boats for about 3 years, I think. I looked at super different types of boats. And also I was in a relationship at that time, which made boat hunting a little bit of a topic. So I flew to Panama and I saw Carl, and the details people can look up in my vlog, I mean, about, you know, the story of what happened with him then. But I saw the boat, and you could smell the trouble, because there was so much mold, you know. You could definitely smell the trouble.
Mold and diesel.
Mold Scotland, New Zealand. There's lots of things that I did not smell or know. Like I was not aware of the amount of trouble that Carl would actually produce, but I was aware that he was going to be troublesome to some extent. Mm-hmm. But I also fell in love. I mean, lots of boat owners will know that you see a boat and you just feel this is it, and this is what I have to do now, and there's no turning back. And obviously, I mean, he wasn't like the boat where people say like, but it's not like his lines, or you know, like how come that one, and there's such a, you know, mess. and I think a lot of it was then I wanted to go forward with this. I had the fear that if I don't buy this boat now, then I probably never will. I'll probably go back and I'll probably feel you've tried enough now and none of the boats that you've looked at is exactly what you're looking for. You should probably just stop trying and stop looking. You probably, this idea you had is just not real. And I think I was at the point where I'm like, you have to move forward no matter what comes. There's only forward, because staying where you are is not an option. So I signed the papers.
I have to ask as well, was the Swedish boy with beautiful eyes named Carl? Like, the boat wasn't named?
No. He was not named Carl.
I would have taken it to cute. Well, sorry, from cute to a bit strange. Right, okay.
Credit, yeah, I'm good.
So what was the plan when you first got it? Like, you've you've been to quite a lot of places, you've been doing this for a long time. Did you have a big plan when you first got the boat as to what you wanted to do?
I did. I had a lot of wild dreams, and I do have to say I was a bit naive when I bought the boat. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. As I'd mentioned, like, I didn't have any boat repair skills or anything. I didn't know about sailing a little bit, at least. Didn't have any experience with solo sailing so far, but I think what I wasn't prepared for was all the trouble, all the failures that were happening, like engine failures, sails ripping, all of that stuff. Oof, that I definitely wasn't prepared for. I was dreaming very big. Like, I thought I was gonna get there, do a couple of weeks of refit, you know, slap some paint on, get rid of the mold, get a mechanic to get the engine running, and then like head out into the sunset.
We all think like that. We all buy 20-year-old boats and think like that.
And the thing is, I had never been seasick before. I'd never had any fear on a sailboat before. I had been in storms and stuff and some dodgy maneuvers, but I had imagined that I would be totally cut out for everything that was ahead of me. And then I realized that things were a little trickier than I thought. So yeah, in the end, I mean, I did want to go, I wanted to go through the canal, and the one idea was to go down to Patagonia. The other one was going across and then actually up, and like, you know, sail from French Polynesia up to Hawaii and the Aleutians and then down to Canada and stuff like that. And that obviously didn't happen. But you know, I'm still on the boat, so it might just happen one day.
Yeah, stuff happened. Right, okay, cool. So at what point did you become really invested in the environmental work that you've done? Because it's taken on a complete world of itself, like the nonprofit that you've set up and then the equipment that, you know, sending out to people to help save the oceans. Like, just talk about that a little bit, actually, because that would be great. Like, when did it start and how did that transform?
I think the first 3 to 4 years I was super involved with myself and the boat, like intensely. One project hit the next, and it was like a roller coaster, ups and downs, and like, as you said, some moments of crying and wanting to give up, and then finding a way to keep going. And I don't think I even had the slightest eye for the environment then, or anything really. I was very much trying to make the dream happen. And, you know, it wasn't a dream anymore. Then I was trying to mold my life into what I wanted it to be. And there wasn't much capacity left, left and right. And I think then after like probably 5 years, after I had done major engine refit and anchor. I think then Krau was sort of in the state of being able to maintain him without going nuts. And then, you know, stuff wasn't breaking left and right anymore, and I could rely on him a little bit differently. I had grooved into the wholesaling part. I mean, it's still always anxiety, but, you know, that's just something I have to, that's just who I am, I guess, that I have the pre-departure jitters whenever I want to set sail. But things have gotten a little easier, let's say. And then also the pandemic hit, and well, actually, no, that was like, even that was before, because that was like when we were in the San Blas Islands, like in Punayala. And we had noticed the increase of plastic pollution at the islands, like over, because it's a place, Maria was there for quite a long time. So it's a place where I'd been revisiting as well. And we had just noticed that it was getting worse and worse. And we started doing beach cleanups to fight against it. Which we soon realized is a fight.
You'll continue for the rest of your life. Like, there's no end.
Exactly. I mean, someone has to turn up the tap. That's obviously, you know, the top priority. And sometimes people say, like, what, you know, why are you recycling? Why are you wasting time recycling? You have to turn up the tap. I'm like, yes, I definitely agree. We have to turn off the tap. I'm totally against new plastic entering this world. And I'm all for people reducing, you know, their plastic in their lives. But still, I mean, still what's in the ocean, someone has to pick up and someone has to do something with it, because we can't just leave it there, because that's not really a healthy option either.
Yeah, true.
That's when we started noticing it, really. And then I think once you've spotted it, once it's become so obvious, and I feel it's gotten also so bad that you can't look away anymore. Anyways, you go to shore and you put up your hammock and you're basically not above shells anymore, but you're swinging in your hammock above trash. It's literally like a colorful carpet of plastic waste, and it's pretty devastating, to be honest. And I think that's, so basically two things happened at once. My awareness went up a lot because of being confronted with it, and also I was gaining a little bit more free capacity and time. I felt that I wanted to do something positive with that time, because I felt I had been so self-indulged in those last 5 years, really just myself and my happiness being the own focus and the boat being the focus of my doing, that I felt it was time to give something back. Because, you know, I live on the ocean. It's like my home. It's my playground. It's like where I adventure. It's where I recuperate. It's my source of inspiration. And damn, I should be taking care of it, right? I should be giving something back. So
very nice.
That's when I started to go like pretty much full in and seeing what else we could do, you know, next to beach cleanups and what to do with the trash once we collected it.
Okay. So moving on a little bit, although you love your Swedish blue-eyed boat and you adore him and you thank him for this wonderful life he's given you, what would you do next? Would you fancy a different type of boat? Would you fancy cruising in a different type of location? Because you've been over there for a while.
Yeah, I've been over for a while, and it's definitely the last 2 years I've been feeling that I've been feeling some change coming up. It's a lot of things have changed for my life. Got a dog now too. But especially within motion, it takes up a lot of time. And I have noticed that more and more time I stop with the boat and I have to, you know, do sort of office stuff that is related with the work as well. And I've noticed it became more difficult to get everything done, like the sailing, vlogging, the motion, you know, all of that. And I've been working on some plans on how to declutter things a little bit, and still assure that I keep on molding the life that I want to have for myself, and still wanting to live on the water and still wanting to be able to adventure with my sailboat. But I can say so much that there are some plans in the making, but they're not ready for public yet. They have to do with a, they have to do with a boat. I can say so much, and I don't want to say. I don't think I can say more just yet.
Keeping secrets, but you're smiling, so it's okay.
It's a good secret, but it's nothing really sure yet, and things are moving.
So a boat thing and it's moving. That's the future.
Well, unfortunately the boat is not really moving right now, but that's a different story.
Cool. I don't see you getting like a 2023 Beneteau O'Shaughness anytime soon. I don't think that's on the horizon for you. I would imagine it would be something quite creative and a little bit different.
I love myself a little challenge, so it'll be interesting, let's say that.
A cement boat somewhere. I don't know. A cement boat in London.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah,
that'll be a tank. Right. Listen, Nico, thank you very much for your time, telling us and the members of the YCA a little bit about yourself.
So now we're going to talk a little bit more in detail about the two things that you just mentioned before. Okay. In shorter detail.
So
right. Take it away. What was it?
I'm laughing because I chugged that beer and now I'm slurring.
My you started diction, looking a bit slower like a few minutes ago.
My diction has just disappeared. So that's a bad idea.
What do we want to say about this? I mean, there's several different ways to earn cash through this affiliate program.
I think the biggest thing to talk
just
about
just tell them to sign up, really.
Sign up and that we need them first so that we can go to more companies. The companies need to see the affiliates before they sign on because companies are just suck.
Right, right.
I mean, they're all awesome, but they it's marketing reality, right? Like the first question the companies have when they're like going to sign on to an affiliate program is like, well, who are the affiliates?
Yeah.
But we're like, well, we can't go to affiliates if we don't have any companies.
Well, who are the affiliates? Like what would an affiliate be?
Anybody. So it could be you, right?
Yeah.
You have an audience because you have a podcast.
Right.
And you also, you know, you make posts online.
Yeah.
But it could also, so you're an easy affiliate.
Oh.
But also, Tom over there, Tom has been sailing for 5 years or 10 years, and he's got friends on the dock, and they drink beers. And
I love Tom, this guy.
Tom's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Tom's a drunk.
Great guy.
Yeah. Tom only drinks ice beers. Yeah. That's all. If it doesn't
on his knee every time.
Yeah, that's all he drinks. But and Tom doesn't have a smartphone. He only has a flip phone.
Oh, only.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Tom only has a flip phone. Yeah.
Where did he buy
that? But Tom is one of those guys. That
CBS.
When you're talking to Tom, you can't stop fucking talking to Tom.
Yeah.
Tom just talks to you forever on the dock.
He's a yapper.
But you know what Tom does? He fucking talks. And he sells shit.
He's an affiliate.
He's a fucking affiliate.
That guy.
Exactly.
So the reality is, it's like Cutco. You don't know Cutco because you're from England.
Unfortunately.
But when we were growing up, they used to say, hey, go call all your friends, call all your family, and sell these Cutco knives. It was like a weird pyramid thing, right?
And it was like sketchy. A scam.
Pyramid scheme, yeah.
It was kind of a scam, except Cutco knives are actually really, really good. But
how many people actually got them? Who paid for them?
Oh, everybody.
Oh.
No, it was a real thing.
It was
a real thing. But the whole point was like, go through your contact list, find everybody, you know, try to sell them. And the cool thing about affiliate stuff is you don't have to buy a bunch of stuff up front and try to sell it.
Mm.
I think the point is that Tom, the ice drinking drunk that likes to talk at the dock in Florida, he's actually never left a slip. You know Tom, he's never left a slip.
No, he's he doesn't know how to sail. Tom does not know how to sail.
He doesn't know how to sail, but he'll tell you he knows
how to
sail.
He's a great affiliate for this program.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying, we're going to the extreme here.
He needs a lot.
He has no phone, he doesn't sail, but he would be a great affiliate for this program.
He's also great for the perks program because he needs a lot.
Yeah.
We're trying to explain the extremes here.
Yeah.
We're trying to explain extremes. The one extreme is somebody with an audience. The other extreme is Tom with no audience. But Tom has friends and Tom talks.
Right.
So if Tom says, hey, you're looking for a water maker? Oh, you should totally go to, what's our water maker partner?
Seawater Pro.
Seawater Pro / Tom. Because that's how it works. It really works like that. If he sells a water maker, then he gets $100.
I love it
how
this fucking useless drunk on a dog somewhere.
Yeah, that's like a backslash.
No, but Tom gets a lot.
Tom just got four cases of beer because he talked about a water maker on the dog.
Oh, so Seawater Pro, by the way, that's like $600 off.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I
mean, it's in the perks program.
Yeah, well, I'm saying Tom needs both. Tom's going to be a big part of both programs, and let's be clear on that.
Right. So this is for Tom.
This is for anybody who has a boat. This
we're
is for anyone who's
the
out there.
Here. We got, but if you're an influencer, you can make a ton of money.
Right. It's okay. A lot easier.
You have to do it right. And we're happy to educate people on how to actually make money as an affiliate.
Right.
Because it's not easy. You have to push. Mm. You have to talk about it. You have to advertise it. You have to make sure that your unique URLs are in the right places where people follow your unique URL so that you get credit for that sale of that product. So we have a little bit of an uphill battle with educating people on how to be a good affiliate. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have tried being affiliates and it didn't work and they don't want to ever do it again. Mm-hmm. And it's too bad because it is an easy way, especially for
this
stuff
is,
you believe in. And I think that's the whole point of all of this for us is like, if it's some garbage you don't like, don't fucking try to sell it.
Exactly.
Don't try to sell it. Like, and even with our perks program, like the discounts for members, like, if it's not good, we're not going to talk about it. Like, there's not enough time in the day. We don't make any money off of YCA anyway. So, like, why would we fuck around with companies that don't sell good shit? So,
With Why Not, I mean, you have a list of all the companies that are, in your space that, you are definitely going to want something on this list. There's no question about it.
Anyway. Yeah, I've seen it. Like, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun. You're right, okay. So what do they need? I mean, once somebody has decided they want to join Tom, and become
joining Tom.
We all do.
Yeah.
If you join Tom, that means you're going to be.
You're going to have a rough night, rough morning the next day.
When you go down in Tom's boat, there's porcelain kitty cat collection, and there's one old cat that just shits and pisses everywhere. Mm. The cat actually has an IV.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah. It sheds. There's no hair left on Tom's cat. Tom's cat's name is Tom. Actually.
Tom seems like a really pasty white guy. I'm picturing Tom in my head right now. He needs to get out in the sun.
Do you think he's from Michigan?
He's 100% not from Michigan. Probably Ohio. Tom is from Ohio.
Steelworker.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, probably steelworker.
We said that because Brian's from Michigan and we like give him a hard time.
Okay, no, Tom, so once they decided they want to join Tom in his way of life.
Yeah,
Where did they go? What do they need to do to join Tom?
They go to the local thrift shop.
Yeah,
and they
start
and they
with
get,
the clothing.
They start there, and they want to make their boat smell like cat piss, diesel, and human feces.
So,
too much.
Do you know this guy? You described him way too clearly.
He was in his boat last
so
night.
So many cruisers boats you go into, and they're like, "Man, this smells like diesel in your head. This smells like your head and diesel, and maybe your cat,
and maybe poo.
It's
maybe straight up poo.
It's a rough combo."
All right, moving on. Sorry.
Yep.
So what were we talking about? The Why Not program.
What's that?
We're talking about the Why Not program.
We were just talking about both, really.
Yeah. You start. Let's just go with a clean Why Not description.
I think we were pretty good with Tom.
I think people are going to be messaging like, "Where's Tom? I don't get Tom. Like, does he need help?
We need to find a Tom. Hey, here's Philip from Mantis."
Should
we bring him over here?
Yeah, get him to say hello. Yeah.
Hey, Philip. So this right here is Philip from Mantis.
How's it going?
They make the greatest ground tackle in the world.
No question.
He's here to grab a YCA hat because he just wants everybody in Texas to see him in a YCA hat.
Also, there's really good design hats.
Yeah, great hats. Yeah. Great hats this year.
If you don't have Mantis ground tackle, you're probably dragging.
Represent.
Yeah, that's your new tagline, by the way.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you, guys.
If you don't have Mantis, you're dragging.
You guys have a good one.
See ya.
Good seeing you, dude.
Okay, so an actual description of the Why Not program.
Start to finish.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, we just went through the entire thing in a very, very detailed way. How could I possibly beat that? Yeah, I mean, it's... I think everyone who's listening understands exactly what Why Not is.
Yeah, but they're not listening for this long.
Well, we got to chop this down a lot,
unless,
right?
Unless we're not chopping this down one bit.
This is staying. I'm going to be like, nobody cares about the Why Not program, but this is what this guy's like.
Well, here's what's important. You just go over to whynotmarineaffiliates.com. I think we also have a link on the youngcruisers.org page.
Okay.
Fill out the form. Get on there. We need to get YCA members on this before we can get the masses of, you know, great companies in the marine industry on board as well. So the more members that we have on this, the more appealing it is to companies to get on board as well. And so, that's what we're pushing first, is first get into it. Don't be alarmed. If you're seeing 10 companies and none of them appeal to you, just keep checking it out, because they're going to continue to be on board throughout the year. Yeah. This is going to be a push that we're going to have all year. So,
So this is like creating a massive group of people, a way for them to earn money, get like good discounts on stuff also, and work with brands that they probably would want on their boat.
Make money, save money. We're all pre-retirement and broke, and
it's stuff that people are going to need anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well get it, get it on your boat, and then if it's good and you like it, then
flog it.
Tell people about it.
Yeah.
And then make some money if they buy some.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That is the Why Not program, Perks program.
Yeah. Perks is totally in-house. Perks is something that's just a discount program for our members. Right. So as a YCA member, you get access to a list of companies, and that's not growing. That's already there. And they're some of the biggest companies in the industry. Great. And you get massive discounts on this stuff. There's no, it's not an affiliate program. Why Not is the space for that. For Perks, it's get discounted product, and then you owe the company a little something, as you should.
Yeah.
Nobody deserves to get 50% off just because they exist, right? Mm. You get 50% off a product,
Tom
typically.
Probably deserves it. Yeah. If you're going to give it to anyone.
Yeah, Tom. Well, yeah.
Tom
gets shit for free because he fucking steals it.
Tom's also a thief. Oh, yeah.
He's a felon.
Yeah.
You didn't tell him about that.
He has not been convicted.
Alleged felon.
Yeah, alleged.
Perhaps we shouldn't talk about his criminal record.
Tom is actually me. That's why it's so easy to talk about.
Yeah, just flow it off the tongue.
They tell you that in therapy. Yeah. Create an alter ego. You get good product at a great deal, and you pay it back to the company that hooked you up, and say every company can decide what their deliverables are. So some of the companies are asking for a couple Instagram posts. And then sending them like 3 or 4 high quality photos they could use in their own marketing.
Yeah,
so these are easy deliverables. This is not difficult.
Right? Tom could do it.
Yeah,
Tom will definitely be doing this,
even with a flip phone. Easily. Yeah,
it's gonna be a horrible quality picture, but Tom can do it.
No, that part can't happen. Tom might have to find somebody with a good.
He's gonna have to sort that out. Something,
because the companies do need something back, and it's important for us to make sure these companies are getting real value. And there's no joke there. We're here drinking beers, laughing about Tom, but the way this whole thing works is that real legitimate companies in this industry can ride this wave of young cruisers. Mm. Whether you're an Instagram influencer or you literally don't own a smartphone, the reality is you're out there doing it, you're making connections, and the value to give a young a YCA member a deal on something compared to a typical normal cruising club. I mean, it's a no-brainer that the value is there. Like, so the companies are eager to get involved, and if you can show a YouTube video, you know, where you talk about something, you can put it in an Instagram post, or maybe all you can really give them is some really awesome pictures of that pair of sunglasses. We're sitting here wearing Valens right now. Valens is a great partner of YCA, and Valens has a huge discount to members, and it's an easy product that anybody can have.
50%.
And everybody needs. I mean, all of us. How often do your sunglasses go in the water on the boat?
I actually have those, and they're good glasses.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, I got some. Yeah.
So Valens is great. We could use Valens as an example. So you get online, you can get Valens right now for 50% off as a YCA member. And what you owe Valen is really simple. Like they, you owe them some tags. If you're going to make these Instagram posts, if you have an Instagram, then you owe them a post, right?
Tom can't do this, actually.
Tom can't, but yes, you know what Tom can do?
Instagram account.
Tom can go get his neighbor that has Instagram and a smartphone
to take
a picture of him in a really, really incredible moment where he is holding his cat in one arm and drinking his Busch Ice in the other hand.
You know, I just realized Tom actually does not qualify. Tom actually needs to have a social media account.
Yeah, Tom needs to have an Instagram.
Like, as their poster boy. Would they be like, he is the model for the front of our business?
That's actually, I'm glad we got to this. Because
we just found a problem here. Tom is not something we should be idolizing right now.
Tom is not in.
No,
so the good thing for companies
is
we do vet members, but it's not based on social media. It's based on being an actual cruiser that can do anything back for a company, whether you're fixing up a boat or you own the boat. But if you can't do anything, right, you're Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it gets a little harder, and we might have to have some discussions with Tom.
I mean,
do we have like a YCA therapy?
We can help Tom.
For Tom.
I think we need Tom on the podcast.
Yeah, we got to find Tom. Someone help us find Tom.
Well, we can go to Florida and find about 6,000 Toms. Probably 200 actually named Tom.
Yeah.
Youngcruisers.org/help us find Tom.
Find the
There's
actual
actually Toms
Tom.
Everywhere. If you go down to a marina, maybe not this marina. This looks like an expensive marina. But if you go down to every marina, there's probably a Tom.
Yeah. Tom's not here in Annapolis. That's for sure.
Toms are actually the best. I mean, Toms are cool.
Good drinkers.
Until they say something weird or racist, and then you're like, nah, I actually don't like this Tom.
No. But he's been a good friend for years, and then that comes out.
that surprises the hell out of you.
Yeah. In front of all your friends, it's Tom.
Come on, Tom.
Right. Okay. So that is an explanation of both those things. Of some sort. I don't know if it was actually, but we spoke about them.
We spoke about them. There's been free beer all day here.
Yeah.
So this is kind of not fair. We should have done this at 9 a.m.
I think we should have done this later on.
Just leave it set up.
Yeah, just leave it up.
Do the 11 p.m.
Right,
version.
So we're now going to move on to the questions and answers from the members from Nika.
Awesome.
Right, cool. Mika, thank you very much for sharing all that information with us that we digested. And we've got some questions from the members, so I'm going to hand it over to Brian and Logan. Take it away.
What Claude is asking, Claude's in France, and he is asking, where were the locals most engaged that you've come across to help out?
Oh, I don't really think that there was one particular place where people were more or less involved or excited about things. It was most people that we came across, like we started a beach cleanup or just picking up trash. Like a lot of times locals would actually come and join in and help and say like, hey, this is so cool what you're doing. And also whenever we showed like, you know, how you can transform the plastic into new products, I don't think it was ever that people were like, yeah, we're not interested or, you know, that's not cool, because I think it's so visual. And so, I don't know, you show them the plastic, you shred it, and then you transform it into something that they can touch. And, you know, it's like something that was trash is all of a sudden like a product. It's just this wow effect. So everyone was usually pretty excited. Yeah, I don't think there is any particular area where they were less excited, let's say that, luckily.
Okay, this is from Marco in the south of Spain, and he asks, we all hate ocean plastic, but I have no idea how to help out. How can cruisers help in the most impactful way? So I think that's a really good question, because I think for all of us that don't, you know, we have other things going on in life that we know we're not going to start an organization, or, and maybe you don't even have time to organize a beach cleanup, but what can we actually do, you know, what can a typical sailor do other than grab the plastic bag as they dinghy by or sail by that they can hopefully make a change?
I think probably one of the easiest ways is to just be more aware of where are you producing or using plastic yourself in your own daily life, especially single-use plastics. I think, you know, those are always, they're usually in some areas easy changes to say, oh, okay, I'm going to swap my toothbrush, or I'm going to go plastic free in the bathroom in general, you know, like shampoos or body wash or razors or, you know, shopping. Grocery shopping is a huge impact on plastic waste. So those like personal decisions, I think if everyone just, and I'm, you know, obviously going zero waste, that's like somewhere up here. And I think if people just do like tiny little steps, and even if everyone in the world does like tiny little steps, I think a lot is already being helped. And that, as you said, like no one has, or lots of people don't have the time to do a complete cleanup, but, you know, to grab your reusable shopping bag or just grab something that is plastic free when you go shopping instead of the plastic version, like that's something that doesn't really take any extra time, for example. That would be an easy thing.
For the time being, it would be really cool if everybody that's listening and everybody in YCA does follow White Spot Pirate as well as In Motion. Please share, you know, every time you see something that's really cool that they're doing, screenshot it or however you want to share it for your stories, and do what you can to keep In Motion, and we'll help in that way.
Thanks a lot, Nika. It was really nice. Yeah. Next year, hopefully we can get you at the Cruisers Awards in person, you know?
Yes.
That'd be good.
Please. Yes. Yeah.
So we just finished the Q&A. Claude from, was it France?
I was from France. From France. Yeah. Thanks for your question, Claude.
Yeah. Cheers, Claude. Good
thanks guy. To everybody who actually asked a question.
Specifically Claude.
Claude, thank you.
The Tom of France.
We don't mean that, Claude. We do not mean that. Yeah.
No, Claude.
Claude's on a sick boat.
Logan doesn't mean that.
Yeah.
Claude's on a great boat.
Yeah.
It's right. An ML.
Yeah, it is
an ML.
No, Claude. Claude. Yeah, no, Claude's on an ML. Yeah,
no, Claude has an ML for sure. Yeah. Right. Okay. So this is a good opportunity to talk about like what we're doing here, because this isn't a typical podcast. We're not on Zoom. We're behind this ginormous, beautiful mural photo with this huge logo behind the back here.
There's some empty beers back there too, I think.
Yep. We should find.
Well, once we finish these, we should probably clean that up. This is a massive moment for you two, really, because it's the first time you've had a booth.
Yeah.
So last year and the year before, I think you did the Cruisers Awards. It was last year. Okay, so last year you started. This year it was on steroids. It was wild. I don't know when everyone's going to get to see that video, but when I walked into that arena, it felt like an arena. It was massive. Like, that was a huge deal. That was a big event.
You crushed it on the live red carpets.
Yeah.
If anybody hasn't seen those live red carpets, they're already up on YouTube.
I can't remember what I said.
Well, you can watch it live right now. If you go to cruisersawards.com, you can watch it. You can click the link, and actually, I think it's embedded right there. You can watch it.
No shit.
You can watch the whole thing. But there's going to be a better edit, though. Yeah.
We'll do a 7-minute recap of the night or something coming up here. Well, by the time this is out, maybe it's already out. But what a night.
It was amazing.
Holy shit.
No, like literally, it was incredible. And like, you've all put so much effort into it.
Yeah.
It's been a big 4 days. So it would be a good opportunity to just like talk about what brought you to this point and how much has gone into it.
Yeah, it's been good being here at the booth, because we're getting people asking, you know, what YCA is. And we thought we were beyond that point, but it's good that people are still coming into this, you know, well, what is the point of YCA? And
we just had pizza turn up, so what do we do now?
Wow. Yeah. I got a little distracted there.
We got to power through this.
What's
and
the
then
thing
we'll
called
the
when you like you eat the pizza really close and people get aroused by it?
ASMR.
Should we do some of that for the YCA members with the pizza?
Just let the pepperonis just slop on the microphone and just drip off.
Do you want me to just open one?
Yeah, there's no way we're sitting here talking and not eating that pizza.
ASMR, baby.
That's got the olives on it. Do you want the Mediterranean?
Wow.
They're all personal pans?
What do we got over here? What's this?
Do they not make larges?
They are really small, huh?
Do you want a piece of this one?
This classic Annapolis. So here in Annapolis, this pizza was $40 US.
Tip not included.
Look at this.
We had a simple dinner last night. Mm. And Annapolis is a beautiful town.
Mushrooms. It's gorgeous.
We had a simple dinner last night for 5 people at a bar.
In a bar.
$400.
For simple dinner.
We each had maybe, 3 or 10 drinks.
No, man, Tom is nowhere near that joint.
No.
No, nowhere.
It was crazy. And maybe they changed their menus around the boat show. I don't really know, but holy shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It was like a $100 dinner. $400 here in the office.
Well, we can enjoy this pizza now.
Well, 100% we tipped 40% there because they definitely added a 20% tip onto that.
Oh.
Anyhow, I mean, it was an outrageous bill for what we experienced.
What
no
was the shit all called? What was the name of this place?
Oh boy. I wish we could talk shit. It was good. It was actually good. It was just
The food was delicious.
It wasn't fine dining. We were just at like a bar.
In a booth. At a bar.
Yeah. Anyhow. Expensive here.
Yeah.
YCA is about eating food, getting drunk, and talking shit, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why do you have two beers?
I'm running this thing.
Oh, you didn't chug the other one.
No,
you
I did.
Well, you did. You did. Before. Well, Logan, whose is that?
Well, that's my second one I haven't finished.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I see.
You can order some more. It's all right.
So, we talked through the food, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, YCA, what's that about?
It's mostly about community, although we've been trying to steer clear of that word for a while now. But it is about bringing people together. Out there on the water.
Chewing through that sentence.
Yeah. Well, my mouth is full. What am I, like, I gotta get through this at some point in time here.
This is Tom.
In spirit.
And I'm from Michigan.
Where? It's a thing people from Michigan do. They hold up their hand and they show you where.
I'll show you where.
Because it's shaped like a hand.
I'll show you where.
Where are you from, Michigan?
I'm from here. Mm-hmm. Grew up on the water up here in the summertime. So yeah, Higgin, here, those two spots.
Can you do it really slowly from top to bottom? Just touch me gently. Oh yeah, yeah, that's right.
Okay, that was uncomfortable.
Why did you avoid the word community?
Because everybody's using that word and they're just abusing it.
It's not a community, you know. Like, yeah, the companies that are pushing community, they have nothing to do with it.
They don't know what community is. Like,
so they're making it fake.
Every app in the world says, join the largest community of boaters. And
they do, don't they?
Everything is like, oh, the community, and it's
fucking liars.
They're totally liars, but they also have like degraded the meaning of the word.
Oh,
so you know, there's reasons why we don't want to. I don't know. We use the word tribe a lot.
Tribe. I was actually about to move on.
But,
that's better.
But there's
some people are offended by that too.
Some people are offended by that. There's you know, Americans say
native tribes and stuff.
Yeah, there's some cultural appropriation involved with the word tribe. Yeah.
That's stupid.
But also, you know, in some ways, it fully says what we are.
We're a tribe.
We're a tribe. We have so much in common, and we truly live and die for each other in many situations. You know, how many times has it been you hear about somebody's boat dragging, and you all of a sudden you're in the dinghy in the middle of the night in the dark, and maybe you've had too much to drink to even be operating a dinghy, but you're like, I've got no option but to help this person, words do matter, and they can hurt and they can uplift and they can motivate and all these things, but at the end of the day, it does suck when what we are is a community, but so many people have ruined the word, especially in this industry. That,
like in the marine industry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. For YCA, we're 10,000 members strong. That's all that matters. There's 10,000 people on boats. Most of them are on boats. Some of them are dreamers. Mm. Some of them are working on their boats. There's 10,000 people around the world that are part of a common network and a common bond and a common love.
They're ready to help each other.
And they're ready to help. And if you don't have a boat, guaranteed that YCA member that lives in Charleston, South Carolina, or in Ibiza, if they don't own a boat and you're there on your boat, you're coming over to their house for laundry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're giving you a ride to the grocery store.
And it's not that 75-year-old couple out in the water is – you know, not someone that you can trust to help you out. Like, this community is amazing. But there's a lot more that bonds YCA members. You know, we're out in the water pre-retirement. It's not easy to do. We're all trying to earn a living as we travel. And so yeah, it's difficult. We're bonded in like a bigger way.
Yeah.
Everybody needs their people. Yeah. Like, some of mine and Brian's best friends in the world, Lee and Cheryl, they're in their 70s, maybe even early 80s. They're some of the greatest people on earth. Brian just spent some time with them at their house on his way south. We see him in the Bahamas. They're just epic human beings. But they epitomize, even still, age doesn't matter. Like, they're the first ones to want to get in the dinghy and go rip to go somewhere. They want to come to the beach bonfire. They want to hang out.
Nice.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, here at the boat show, I think I've realized more and more and more, like, all we really are is the anti-yacht club.
It's becoming more and more obvious when you walk around.
If you identify as the kind of person that's just like, I mean, how many collared shirts and fucking bow ties and shit have you seen at this boat show?
It's mostly that.
It's so preppy.
Yeah.
And so, like, if that's not your crowd, then YCA is your home.
Come drink beer.
Jack's been saying it here at the booth for days now. Just young at heart. He's leaving Jack. Anything out about pre-retirement. Yeah, Jack, Riley's cousin.
Oh, a real Jack. I thought we were
Vagabond Adventures. It's a real person. Yeah,
Jack
yeah.
has a brother named Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
But that's good. I mean, I think that speaks to more people. And you know, in the very beginning when we were thinking about the name, Young Cruisers Association, we didn't like that we were alienating a lot of our friends because we've both been cruising for a long period of time. And, you know, it's like we don't want to hang out with old people, even though those are some of our best friends. So, young at heart.
The name's hard. I mean, the name's been the biggest asset and the biggest holdback for YCA. It really has.
Yeah. Yep.
And it started organically. Like, it started a long time ago in the Bahamas with young people that were making fun of how official Young Cruisers Association sounded. Like, it was all a joke. It was all, like, supposed to be ironic, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, the YCA, like, we're going to have a YCA meeting, you know what I mean? It was all a joke, and then it just kind of stuck, and how are you going to change it? You know, how are you going to change it?
So no, now we just good.
Deal, we
it's
deal
good.
With the blowback. And it's a bummer. There are a lot of people that have showed up here, and they're like, well, I'm not young. And you're looking at them, and they're dressed like you. They're talking like you. They got a, you know, they're hanging out.
They're asking for a beer.
They're
your people.
I promise you, this is your tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, these are your people. Like, unless you're going over there to the yacht club, which is literally next door, and you want to eat a fancy, you know, tablecloth lunch right now, this
you belong here.
And they're going to kick you out because you are not wearing the proper apparel for that scene. Yeah,
which
that's
happened
for sure.
To Brian's girlfriend last year.
Yeah. I'll tell you a cool story about the meetup that we did in Ibiza. So one guy came along, I think he was in like his mid to late 40s, maybe mid 40s, and super quiet guy, but like very, very polite and nice. Took a little bit of while to get him open, but once we all started having some drinks in a few of the different cockpits, we found out it was his birthday. So we got like a little cake from downstairs, got him a candle, everybody was singing
nice.
To him.
Nice.
And then we started like asking questions like, what would you do? What advice would you give yourself 20 years ago? And he just had this like fucking inspirational like message to everyone.
Oh, wow.
And we were like, oh, wow. And I sat down with him later on and he was like, you know, I'm just so happy I came. Like, I thought because everybody's young and everybody's very outgoing and active and lively that I wouldn't fit in and, you know, I wouldn't be able to talk to people.
Yeah.
This has been one of the best birthdays I could have ever wished for.
Oh, that's so
wow.
cool.
And that was the Young Cruisers Love Association that brought that together. And he literally, like, he looked like a changed person. He loved it.
And that's amazing. I think that's what people don't understand. Like, people walk up even to this booth and they immediately have this idea in their head and they're like, oh, well, I'm not here because I'm here. And then they realize 5 minutes later how nice everybody here is and that we don't give a shit. And then like, oh, whoa. I mean,
and nothing's being shoved down their throats. We're not, you know, our membership is free. Like, if you feel called to this tribe, we want you in. But if you don't, then you know, you don't have to join. It's free and we're giving you things, you know, the why not and the perks program. I mean, we're working hard to make this better for you.
Yeah, and just getting whether you're flying the Burgee from your spreaders or you're getting on the directory and actually seeing where people are. Like, how awesome. Like, pull into a harbor, see a YCA Burgee, no icebreaker needed.
Yeah.
You just dinghy right up to that boat, and you're like, you guys are in the YCA? Yeah. And guaranteed within 3 minutes, you guys are having a cocktail in the cockpit.
I've made loads of friends that exact way. Yeah. it's really exciting, especially for me to see that flag flying when I come into the harbor. It's cool.
Yeah, must be proud.
Legends.
They sound like anti-Toms. Not that that's a problem, because Tom is great.
Tom is our mascot.
He's the face of YCA.
Oh, no.
This isn't a bird. It's actually Tom, just like stood like wide-armed at the dock.
Yeah.
I love Tom.
Crucified.
Boom. Cool. Good stuff.